Welcome to Ahead of the Curve, a podcast by Acadia. I'm Devin Cook, and I'm here with my colleague Alexi.
Hi, Devin.
And today we're going to talk a little bit about ORE, ORE Academy, and the growing library of resources within Acadia and our Quant Services group. With that, Alexi, why don't you talk a little bit about ORE and just introduce it a little bit for some of our listeners who might not be familiar with our open source risk engine.
Thanks, Devin. It's great to be in this beautiful LSEC podcast podcast room. So ORE stands for Open Source Risk Engine, and it's a software providing risk analytics for derivatives and structured products for the risk industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on Quantlib, which is another open source library, which is pretty good. I mean, it's very good. And it's both of them are open source, and it means it's completely free. It's been created in 2010. The founder of a company that was called Quaternion Risk Management at the time, which was later bought by Acadia 2021 and then LSEC in 2023. The founder of a company were really avid users of Quantlib, actually. And during the crisis of 2007, during the financial crisis, they decided that they needed to increase the coverage of what Quantlib could do, and they decided to create ORE, Open Source Risk Engine. They did that for multiple reasons. The first one was to improve the coverage of asset class, of products. At the time, it was really you needed like credit derivatives and inflation products such as ABS, ABS Square, CDO Square, ABS, all the...
not squared yet.
Yeah, all this complicated stuff. They needed to also to increase the coverage of analytics so it can cover CVA, value at risk, sensitivity calculation, backtesting, stress testing, etc. And as you can imagine, all these features along the years have been greatly improved. I mean, now we can cover hundreds, if not thousands, of different type of instruments in six different asset classes, multiple analytics, and we release our code every quarter now for a couple of years. I think we've managed to do that every quarter. The last release last year was pretty successful. We released the American Monte Carlo. We released Script the Trades,
which
is a promising thing. We'll talk about it a little bit later. And then there was a third reason, probably one of the most important, why they decided to create Quaternion Risk Management and ORE. It was for a regulatory purpose, because they wanted to create sort of a transparency framework where all the regulators could easily access all the code. I guess that's something we're going to talk about in a moment.
Yeah, it's really amazing to me just to see how far ORE has come. You know, originally it was this kind of internal pricing tool used by, you know, that small company. And then now it's grown into this extremely robust pricing and risk engine. And what's so unique about that is pricing and risk engines across the industry are not free. They're third-party black box vendors. That our product, which does all of the same things, and we consistently expand and we maintain, is completely free, open source. And you can get it absolutely whenever you want. And we continue to expand and broaden our product scope and coverage, although now with our scripted trade framework that is a little bit less meaningful, but you know, there are always different risk metrics and things to expand. So part of the team has kind of shifted the focus of ORE to usability, making it much easier to use. Because when it's an internal tool, it's not really as important, but we would like to make it as easy to use externally as possible. So basically, our goal is to make it as easy to use ORE from pip installing it or cloning the GitHub repo to running one of our 50 plus examples in our ever-growing in our ever-growing library of examples on both the standard ORE side and then the Python SWG, which we'll talk more about later. With that increased focus on expanding our educational resources, expanding usability, you've played a huge role in that. So why don't you talk a little bit first about kind of open source and how you see open source in the risk space?
Well, short answer, accessibility. I mean, it's and transparency as well. Mm-hmm. Long answer, you know what? One of the like first question that client ask when we demo Ori mm-hmm. Is how come you're releasing all this feature for free? Mm-hmm. I mean, is it really sustainable?
Yeah.
Other companies have made their entire business out of selling the mm-hmm. same things exactly, but it's appearing services, right?
Yeah.
And it's
somehow there's almost an adverse reaction when you hear it's free. You know, it must be bad. It must not be that great. It must have all of these faults, or you must be tricking us in some way.
Exactly, you're the product.
Yeah, genuinely, that's not the case.
Yeah. Oh, it's actually bad product, and it's uh-huh. actually neither. I mean, it's a great product that is perfect for the users. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just have to download it. You can use it. You can break it. You can identify errors, and mm-hmm. you can improve it. That's part of the community, and we want people to do this, obviously. From a business point of view, I mean, any clients that is using Ori as the source of calculating risk, for example, mm-hmm. Is greatly advantageous because they know that they have a software which has been used and mm-hmm. reused and broken and reviewed by the regulators. Mm-hmm. And for the regulators, it's something that they already kind of know. They know that they could have actually reviewed it in another company.
Yeah.
And they don't have to face a black box, which a lot of the third-party proprietary softwares are actually. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of advantages in being transparent.
Yeah, even aside from the user base of Ori, or I guess in addition to the user base of Ori, Acadia's SIM engine is powered via Ori. So you have, outside of our large user base, all of these trades every day being calculated, with SIM being calculated. So it's also validated by, large institutions across the globe.
True.
Yeah. And this really gets to the point that I think our mindset within the Quant Services Group is really more aligned with a tech company opposed to a traditional old financial firm.
This is how we see ourselves.
Exactly. One of the core tenets of Quant Services is that open source is really a mindset, not just our software, or not just a software license. Pushing out our high-quality ORE code into GitHub is really only part of the job. Now we're seeing that the other part of the job is really democratizing its usage and putting out resources for others to learn it who aren't internal at Acadia, and don't use it every day, and maybe in another bank. We'd like to grow this user base, whether that's with academics or whether that's with institutions. And really, Alexei, this is something that you've been working on in the sense of growing a library of content to help enable this. So would you want to speak a little bit about your Ori Academy and the amazing work you've done with that?
So the Ori Academy, actually, it's probably 1 year old now. We mm-hmm. released that last year. It aims to be a sort of library of content, library of mainly videos, tutorial videos, explaining how to use Ori, what is Ori, and how to use Ori. Mm-hmm. And for now, we have a YouTube channel. Hopefully, mm-hmm. we'll have more medium of democratizing this knowledge mm-hmm. about Ori. Ori, for a very long time, the way we developed Ori was mm-hmm. really on a technical and technological point of view. We didn't really spend much time or much effort into marketing it or democratizing it. Mm-hmm. And that shifted when we were bought by Acadia and where we had a little bit man resources and mm-hmm. We had a very supportive marketing team. So absolutely, absolutely great. And it started from there. I mean, we already had a couple of videos mm-hmm. And all we needed was to add a few more so that we have enough sort of basic knowledge to provide to the viewers so that they actually kind of know how to install or mm-hmm. What is Ori, install Ori, how to configure all the different files required, mm-hmm. How to use it, and then after you can sort of use that as stepping stones to and create more sophisticated subject video. That means like more sophisticated analytics and etc.
Yeah,
and,
you know, because usage of ORE can be as simple as, you know, pricing an equity option to doing, you know, a more complex XVA or PFE. So really, there's a whole breadth of, you know, potential content there as far as, you know, learning. You know, in our current content is already extremely robust. We have anything from just, like you said, installing ORE, which now is relatively simple, to a whole enterprise-wide infrastructure of ORE and how one might implement that. And then, of course, we have, you know, pricing and risk in between, pricing and risk content in between those two. But, you know, the library is already pretty robust, but would you want to talk about kind of what your big plans are, what the next steps of the ORE Academy is?
There's a lot of stuff to do. I mean, we really want to increase the coverage, both, you know, both internally, like, so people in the company as well know about how to use ORE. It's it's not always obvious, and especially for potential users who might find ORE interesting. We have a lot of ideas. I don't know if we're going to succeed in, you know, providing them, but some of the ideas, some of the subject that we want to tackle, like we're, you know, talking about more sophisticated subject, were, for example, bootstrapping or CVA, value at risk, XVA, XVA, MVA, scripted trades, which is, you know, it's probably one of the most promising features that we released the last year that greatly increased our coverage of product. It's almost indefinitely. That's pretty great. I'll give you a concrete example of what we're going to propose very soon. That's actually it's a work in progress at the moment, but we want to do videos where it explain subject of the derivatives world to people, and not necessarily showcase ORE, but use ORE as a medium to explain those concepts, which are sometimes very difficult, and you need, you know, numbers and graph to actually explain explain better. So we want to do a video about parametric value at risk, and we are going to split it into four videos. Like it was supposed to be one video at the beginning, and then you know, the more you dig, it's like rabbit hole.
The more you do.
So the first video will be entirely dedicated to OIS bootstrapping.
Okay,
that's one of the, you know, core knowledge of, I mean, that every students learn. It's very important, and that involves knowing how to price an OIS OIS instrument. That involves how to generate cash flow schedules, especially if there's a payment lag. That involve, you know, a log linear interpolation and boots and root finding algorithm, etc. The whole thing. Then the second part will be dedicated to volatility, equity volatility calibration. The third one on sensitivity calculation, and fourth one finally on, you know, value at risk and how to use those sensitivity to calculate the value at risk. And that's a work in progress, so hopefully we'll be able to provide that very soon.
Yeah, I think that's extremely interesting, and that's a really interesting project that really showcases kind of every step of ORE.
And that's what we want to do, yeah.
Exactly. You know, you'll be able to kind of validate these numbers in many different ways.
There's also a few more ideas, and I can I can throw you. It's one is, you know, throwing some tips about how to, tips about, you know, things that gravitate around ORE. It's not directly related to ORE, but that gravitating around ORE. You know, how to, there's one about how to debug ORE in Visual Studio. Potentially we should do one on, you know, like explaining how to generate the documentation, which is in LaTeX, and how to generate that into PDF. Sometimes I remember trying to do that myself.
It can be difficult.
It can be very difficult. And but, then,
But I would say it's difficult just because our documentation is so robust and we have a structured approach to our documentation. So that's why it's, you know, we have many different products and all the different risk metrics that we're able to run. And that's part of the reason it can be complex at times when dealing with the documentation. So it's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's
actually a good thing,
One thing that potentially we could launch as well, like another, could launch a new playlist of on the YouTube channel about the derivatives glossary, you know, like definitions about explaining some of the regulatory terms that are quite, you know, Sacker or like SSEVA, mm-hmm. all this stuff, it might get there.
Yeah.
I think it will be very interesting to explain those in very short videos, very, very short and focused videos.
Yeah, I think that'd be perfect. I would personally find something like that very useful.
I would learn a lot as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those regulatory terms, you can't really find in a glossary like that. So having a short snippet, just like a quick video, or you, learn a little bit and maybe learn its relation to ORE and how to
with a formula and some examples. Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be perfect. Yeah, yeah. I look forward to a future.
Let's see.
future,
I mean, it's there's a lot of work to do, and hopefully that we'll manage all that.
Yeah, but I think, everyone's looking extremely forward to, further development in the ORE Academy. And, thanks a lot for your work and leading that initiative. Another thing I wanted to talk a little bit more about, and I think is, almost equally as important, is the recent Python implementation of ORE. And I especially think this is important because, I came out of college knowing Python. Not C++. In this case, it would have been a little bit difficult for me to upstart with ORE. Now, many graduates, much like myself, come out of the box knowing Python, and they can get ORE very easily now and start working with it within a matter of seconds. Would you want to talk a little bit about kind of the Python swig and, kind of a little more detail on that than I gave?
Sure. I mean, the Python extension is, along with the scripted tray, is probably one of the most fundamental feature that we released. Mm-hmm. Like you say, everybody uses Python nowadays.
Yeah.
And now with the pip install, there's mm-hmm. one line to install it. That's compared to installing all the stuff and in C++ and in Visual Studio, that it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The way it works is we use something called Swig, which is a fairly common wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also used by Quantlib. Our code is based on Quantlib, like I said, so it's using Swig. And there's multiple advantages of ORE using Swig mm-hmm. as to export its functionalities.
Yeah.
First of all, in comparison to like a library that would have been built completely mm-hmm. in Python, 100% in Python, it's way more fast and robust and powerful.
Because that backend is C++.
Exactly, so, which is faster. And so that's actually mm-hmm. one reason why it's great. The second is the way Swig works. It actually works in two steps. The first mm-hmm. step is it takes your function, your class in C++, and export it into an interface, mm-hmm. which is language independent. So. And the second step is transforming this interface into, for example, one of the language available, which is, for example, Python.
Yeah.
And that means that if we, all the functionalities that we exported already into Python, mm-hmm. It will be very easy to expand it into another language like Perl or C Sharp, mm-hmm. etc. So it's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And like I said, we listen to the community. Mm-hmm. Like it's, for now, it's not extensive. It's mm-hmm. enough to work, mm-hmm. to launch ORE and run some of the analytics. Mm-hmm. I think we want to export way more of it. That's probably what people are expecting of us.
Yeah.
And we need to release those functionality, and we need to cover them through mm-hmm. The ORE Academy. So that's one of the next steps. And I think we'll listen to what people want. If some functionality takes priority, I think we will listen to you.
And that's exactly right. So, if any listeners have any ideas or reach out, and we can, Alexi will make a video for you, and hopefully we'll get
somebody else.
Yeah. Or somebody else. Yeah. One of the other many members of our team.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about education, usability, largely in relation to, the open source risk engine, and how that's evolved over time. And I think a lot of these ideas kind of coalesce in a recent partnership between Acadia and Northeastern University.
Mm-hmm.
Northeastern University, famous for their co-op approach to education, hands-on learning, and we've partnered doing a certificate program where some of the best professors in their quantitative finance program and some of our top partners and original builders of ORE can can teach students about quantitative finance, the financial regulatory environment, and importantly, using ORE, kind of all three components of the quant finance space, really. And I think that's really important, and I'm really excited for that internship. So, or for that partnership. So if anybody is interested in that, feel free to take a look. It's really exciting.
Yeah, no, I did meet some of the team member of the Northeastern University, and they're very competent people. They're very nice. So pretty excited to see where this could go. It's actually a good mix between university and Acadia.
I think so too. Would you care to share, Alexi, where you can find the ORE Academy and our listeners can look at these resources?
Yeah, I mean, it's on YouTube. So you just go on YouTube and you search for ORE Academy.
Great. Thank you, Alexi.
Yeah, thank you, Devin.
Thank you for listening to Ahead of the Curve, podcast by Acadia. If you need more information, go to acadia.inc.